Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. It's 2:30 p.m. Eastern on the 12th of June. And the title of today's show is Our Consciousness is Like a Garden. And we'll get to that in a little bit. That comes from page 20 of the book, Macht der Gedanken, The Might of Thoughts. As you know, this show is dedicated pretty much to the teachings and the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Billy's in his 80s. He lives in Switzerland, about 37 kilometers from Zurich, in a place they call Hinter Schmidrute. Hinter meaning behind, Schmidrute is a tiny mountain village in a pine forest up in the mountains in Switzerland. And right around 1975, Billy had visitations from a woman named Semyase, but these weren't his first by any stretch of the imagination. Billy's visitations go all the way back. His contacts go back to 1943, World War II, when Billy was a young boy, and he was contacted by a man named Spaff. In 1953, he was contacted by a woman named Asket from the Tao universe. And in the middle 70s, Billy was contacted by a woman named Semyase. Now, Spaff and Semyase are from a world called Era. And Era is very Earth-like in some respects, in terms of how our Earth was about 2,000 years ago or 1,000 years ago. Our universe is much different than what our scientists think. And in order for this to make sense, I have to explain a few things to give you context so that this doesn't sound outrageous. The Pleiaren tell us, and that's one group of people we call the Pleiaren, they're not from our Pleiades, as they've often been called, the Pleiadians. If you go in the general direction of the Pleiades for 400 light years and then enter into a dimensional gate and go another 80 light years or so, you'll end up in a star system that's called the Pleiaren star system. Now, this star system is in a part of our universe that's shifted in terms of its space-time configuration. And there are seven different space-time configurations in our universe. Now, these different space-time configurations, or roughly dimensions as they're called, are somewhat similar to each other in some respects. For example, in the Pleiaren systems, there is a Lyra Vega and a Cirrus system. So these constellations they have their own Cirrus system. And we have our own Cirrus system, and we have our own Lyra Vega system. Now, the people that Billy has been in contact with are in some ways associated with his previous lives. And when Spaff took Billy up in his ship in 1943, his silvery pear-shaped craft, one of the things that Spaff told Billy is that he had been the people that we call Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And that in each of these lifetimes on Earth, he taught an ancient universal teaching called the teaching of the spirit. And the teaching of the spirit teaches us about what are called the laws of our universe, the creational natural laws. And I'll cover these quickly. Well, the first one you might call effective love. And our universe radiates this. If you go into nature, if you spend time with plants and animals, especially if you have a beautiful large forest near your home, spend some time there. If you can grow a lot of trees on your property, that's even better. Because these surroundings, these natural surroundings, affect your consciousness, your awareness, your sense of well-being. And that is part of this is because they radiate love. And that may sound a little strange to you at first. But the universe, our universe, is neutral, positive, equalized, and balanced. So when you go out into nature, you will feel, if you're sensitive, that neutral, positive, equalized, and balanced energy. And that energy, you know, sometimes we study it and it's called ions, the negative ions. Sometimes you hear them talk about the negative ions. Well, there is an intelligence behind our universe, a consciousness. And in the German of Billy's writings, it's called a Wesenheit. Now, your cat, your dog, your friend, your spouse, your parents, the bird that's flying over your head, the rabbit that you just saw run. They're Wesen. They have a personality. This consciousness doesn't have a personality. It has love. It has intelligence. And it has a little bit of free will, not much, because it's completely devoted to the striving, which is the second creational natural law, down to the last building block. The atomic building block. The universe is devoted to the striving. So likewise, if we're going to fashion our life according to these laws, we have to be devoted to the striving as well. And the striving gives our life meaning and purpose and definition. So you have to have a goal. You have to choose in your life what your striving is. Striving encompasses all different areas. For example, I often say cleaning out your garage, and at least in my case, is one of my areas of striving. Exercise and learning and all these different things are a part of the striving. There is no sense of life without the striving. So, and it's, a lot of these principles I'm telling you now are what Billy has been learning from all these contacts over the years. Very interestingly, Billy's contacts with Semyase, she would land her craft, which was roughly saucer-shaped, near Billy's home in Switzerland in the 1970s, and he would ride his moped out there. And they would sit and talk, and eventually Semyase's ship would transmit the conversation verbatim back to Billy, and he would type it in at the computer at a very high rate of speed, with, of course, his one hand. Semyase's ship has a biological intelligence. It has, it's a created thing. It's created by these Pleiarians. They're very, very highly evolved human beings that are some, they haven't had war for like 50,000 years. And they built this ship, and the central processing unit of the ship is a biological consciousness. It contacts and talks to Semyase telepathically. So it's a living being with a metallic hull. So you quickly then are brought up against things which do not fit into typical human, Earth humans' view of what's possible even. And that scares people. and it makes them frightful, and then they fall back a lot of times on their religions, and their religions have no way to explain these things either. So that means it defaults to something evil, something bad. And this is unfortunate, because we're not equipped even to understand what is real in our universe, because our consciousness has not evolved enough even to vaguely begin to understand this. And that's why the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer has incarnated on the earth as Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, Muhammad, Rasputin, Galileo, Socrates, Aristotle, and I'm sure I'm leaving a few out. Now, Mozart, if I didn't say that, Mendelssohn. And each time this spirit form, which I think is about 9.6 billion years old, each time it has incarnated on the earth, it has been a teacher in some way, whether it's teaching via music or astronomy, as in the case of Galileo, or teaching in ways like the Meyer writings. And just to give you a few quick, some of the Meyer writings: Machter Gedanken and the Might of Thoughts, the Talmud of Emmanuel by Judas Iscariot. Billy has tremendous amount of descriptions here explaining what's going on in the psyche, the Arts of Leaving, the Way to Live, Kelk der Wahrheit, the Goblet of Truth. So Billy had these contacts with these individuals, and first with Svoth, then with Askett, starting in 1953, and those lasted for 11 years, and then Samyase in the 70s, and then Ptah and Quetzal mostly the last several decades since the 70s. I guess it's been quite a few decades. So anyway, this is part of the overview that I wanted to give you. Let me give you a little bit of information about ERA, which is in our universe, but in a different space-time configuration. The gravity is 3% higher than Earth. The diameter is almost the same as the Earth. They have some lead advisors, which are called the Andromedan High Council. And these people live in the sixth stage of human evolution. There are seven stages of human evolution. We are down at 2 on the earth. The Pleiaren are at 5, and the people from this high council are at 6, and they're half physical and they're half spiritual. The leadership on ERA is chosen according to the level of spiritual wisdom. And there are two terms, and you've probably heard them before, Ishwish or Ishrish, depending on whether they're male or female. And the Ishwish is a person that has evolved. In ancient Lyrian, the term really came from Lyra Vega. And in ancient Lyrian, they were called kings of wisdom. And they include people like Ptah, Pelagon, Atlant, Eris, and the term applied to women is Ishrish. And the abbreviation is JHWH or IHWH. And typically, the Ishwishes are the human beings that are living in the last stages of human existence before changing into these half-spiritual forms that I was talking about. They are much higher evolved in their consciousness. Now, creation is much, much higher than these Ishwishes. But the title Ishwish is millions of years old, and it came from the ancestors of Earth who came from Lyra Vega, but in a different space-time configuration. Again, there are seven different space-time configurations in our universe, which is called the Dern universe. And our space-time configuration is different from the Pleiaren. We're each in a unique space-time configuration. These extraterrestrials can travel great distances. They jump great distances, and they also move between these space-time configurations. Very interesting stuff. One of the things about ERA is the population of the planet is carefully controlled. And I want to read something to you, and I don't know much about this, but I think it's very intriguing. It says, no mixing of peoples and foreign hostile and race hostile conflicts arise with other peoples or between families and neighbors, etc. So I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it sounds like they have a way of not mixing different racial groups, which is the opposite. You know, we think that's bad now, but maybe in some ways it isn't. A democracy of the freedom and of the peace, that no such comparison can be drawn to what is happening on the earth. So things are so different. Absolute peace and freedom for the people and the individual prevail on ERA. No war or hostile acts take place one against the other. So ERA is completely, it's much more advanced. There's no border customs for persons and wares of ERA, and every human being can freely go anywhere to wherever he or she wants without being controlled by officials. So they have a tremendous amount of freedom. Even though everything is free and open, every country's territory has its own territorial boundaries, which are respected in complete uniformity by all peoples and not violated. So this is very interesting stuff about ERA that it would be interesting if maybe I could devote a whole show to that. But I think I'll switch back to the Might of Thoughts. I gave a quick overview there. I didn't really finish with the creational natural laws. The first is effective love, which is brotherly love. And it has there's a great verse in Love Letter 27 that says, love is the highest principle in all creation. And through it, everything exists in absolute logic. So it's because or through the love of creation that we even exist. And we exist in absolute logic. So this intelligence behind everything is a tremendously logical. So you can depend on it, which is really, really good to know. We have something called the psyche in our material consciousness. Every human being has a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. The psyche is half material and half spiritual. It organizes and administers the thoughts and our feelings. And generally the feelings grow out of the thoughts. The psyche arranges the thoughts. And you can think of your consciousness like a garden. So when a human being starts a garden, it's certain that some form of plant will be produced in it, regardless of whether a piece of land is cultivated or tended or grossly neglected. If we grossly neglect our consciousness, you have to think of your consciousness like something you have to care for. We don't think of it that way. But the consciousness needs to have healthy thoughts planted in it, like seeds. And, for example, I like to tell myself I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers a ship. I nurture my thoughts. I clarify my thoughts. I strengthen my thoughts. I'm the master of my own destiny. What I mightfully think manifests for me. See, these are seeds, and I'm speaking them out loud, and these seeds are going into my consciousness, and I'm tending those seeds. And then they grow just like plants. Mind of Thoughts, page 20. It brings forth either rich, healthy, and neutral, positive, equalized, mightful thoughts, which are creative and progressive, or mightful, wildly growing negative thoughts, which have a confusing and destructive effect. If you do nothing, you don't seed your consciousness with these healthy thoughts, you will get wildly growing negative thoughts. And wild means they're not subject to restraint or regulation. They're uncontrolled. They're rampant. They are ferocious. They're untamed. They're uncultivated. And in Kelk Dervahart, The Goblet of Truth, chapter 8, they talk about this kind of thinking. It says, by means of which you commit evil deeds and bring yourselves to a fall, and in doing so, you mercilessly let your high inner world, your consciousness, become wild. And you know what's interesting is if you let your consciousness stay in this wild state, it will lead you into confusion. Verwischen, a very bad pronunciation in the German. I don't even want to try that again. Confused means to make something more complex or less easy to understand. Confusion disturbs your mind. It throws you off. What's ruined is your sense of order. And that's one of the creational natural laws, a system and order. And you should organize your life and try to do things at about the right or same time every day. And try to do the same useful things every day. By doing so, you bring a system and order into your life. That's another creational natural law. The third creational natural law is the law of harmony. We want to think in neutral, positive, equalized, balanced ways. And in order to do that, you plant these useful seeds are spread in the garden. But if you don't spread useful seeds in the garden, weeds will grow. If you just leave it to fate, weeds will grow, and you might get a meager flower to sprout someday. But if you don't maintain your consciousness, there will be wildly growing negative thoughts which have a confusing and destructive effect. And these wildly growing thoughts are much like weeds. And these thoughts, when they're animated and created, they develop their own life exactly like plants. And there's kind of a thought life cycle, you could say. We have an idea, I-D-E-A, or a perception. And then the idea is fertilized. That means you had this notion and you went out and you learned more about it. Or you just spoke it to yourself, speak to your own consciousness. You're tending this positive thought that you're confident, you're optimistic. And I am confident and optimistic, but I had to tell myself that for a year before I started to believe it. So you may not believe it at first. It's okay. Just tell yourself you're confident. And then this thought, this seed, this idea, it'll become real after a while if you keep tending and nurturing it. So the thought will then become animated. They've developed their own life. Think of people like Einstein, Tesla, Mozart, Bach. Thoughts they've had are still alive, still existing. The music that Bach wrote, that Mozart wrote, still alive. People still listen to it. people enjoy it very, very much. They study it and learn from it. So thoughts have their own lifetime and their own power. They develop their own life. And any acts or deeds that you do are just the flower of your thoughts. The key is to have mindful thoughts. That means they have intensity to them. They're focused. They're determined. And you as a human being are the smith of your own life. You can think of a smith as a metal worker. He heats the metal. He hammers the metal. He's forging it. He's a metalsmith. He's pounding on this metal. And you're doing that with your life. You're hammering it into place. You're hammering its unremitting action. Assiduousness. You develop assiduousness. Unremitting action. The human being is the result of his or her own thoughts. The life forms, the life always forms according to the thoughts that are tended, chosen, and nurtured. And that's the law of universal creation. It's a law of cause and effect. So every law that's enlivened by might and power must, as a cause, bring a quite certain effect. So you are the creator of your own morality, your own character, your entire personality. You're the creator of the state of your own psyche. You're the smith of your life circumstances. And you could be dealing with some tough life circumstances. It's time for you to strive. In that case, it's really always time for us to strive. Striving is critical for happiness. And for having a good life. In fact, the whole universe, the whole creation is devoted to the striving. Striving creates the life right up to the being. Striving means delectation. Delectation is satisfaction. In a form which is always fulfilling and progressive, to be without striving means unwillingness and affliction. Affliction is inhibited striving and inhibited life. But inhibited striving and inhibited life bring inhibited evolution and stagnation, hopelessness, grief, confusion, irrationality, joylessness, cognitionless, unpeace, disharmony, lovelessness, resentment, lies, self-deceit, deceit, and reluctance for life. So whatever you do, continue your striving. Even if right now you're just cleaning out your garage, believe me, I do it continually. Nothing wrong with that. Organize your closet. Work at your day job if you got one. If you don't, work at getting one. You know, it's just a crazy time that we live in right now. But keep working. The odds are in your favor, no matter how bleak it is, if you just keep working. Keep striving. Keep striving. Remember, your consciousness is like a garden. When a human being starts a garden, it is certain that some form of plant will be produced in it, regardless of whether the piece of land is cultivated. But cultivate your garden, your consciousness, so that you will have the things that you want in your consciousness and not the negative things that can be confusing and destructive. Thanks for listening. This is Ohio Exopolitics, and I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.